Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of the PRF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap. Sitting down with the table with us is also Sister Paula Brooks. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening. I'm fabulous this evening.
And Brother Peter, how are you doing? We're doing well.
I am doing good. American Idol is over. I'm here. I am doing good. I'm ready for the show tonight. I'm definitely going to be in receive mode and learn mode tonight. So I'm ready and I'm excited.
Well, we're excited, and we're grateful to all the listeners that are out there that are tuning in to us. We're grateful, and we are very thankful that you take the time out of your schedule each and every week. We have a very significant following that follows us. As well as on our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. So without further ado, we really just want to get into tonight's show. Tonight's show, we're continuing on this series. Last week we started talking about student loan independence, and we thought it was real befitting that it was Independence Day that we started off this particular series with a title and a subject that was really going to be aimed specifically at giving some individuals out there some freedom or some independence from one particular aspect of debt, which is student loan debt. We had several callers to call in and grace us with their presence, and we were so thankful for them. And what we feel that we need to do is just continue on in the conversation, continue on into the dialogue, and we invite you, the listeners, to be able to just join into the conversation, whether you do it via online or Facebook, or whether you just call in and share your comments and your thoughts. So, with that, you know, last week with our discussion, and we're going to continue with it for today, we want everybody to understand that the premise for last week's show, as well as the premise for tonight's show, is really about opening up this discussion a whole lot more about student loan debt. We're not speaking about student loan debt as it's this theme of something that is demonic or something that is a negative concept. What we're really trying to do, and we'll continue to try to do this, is really to look to explore some of the thoughts that that we had on this subject, and also to hear some of the thoughts that you have on the subject as the listeners, and also some of your experiences. We know we have some educators, fellow educators, I would say, out there as well, and some of you who may have experienced some of the situations that have come from having student loans, whether it was you personally or whether it was somebody within your family structure. So with that, as a way of a recap for those who may not have been with us last week. We talked a little bit about some figures that was there. One of the things that we talked about was the average student loan debt per borrower, and we mentioned a couple of the states, but on an overall basis, $24,810 was the figure that I was able to find as an average student loan debt per borrower. So almost $25,000 individuals that are out there who engage in student loans or who require student loans and needed them, however you may have obtained them, that's the average. And for those of us down south, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, even where I'm from in Philly, you know, it's at least $25,000. So that says that there's a need to talk about it, in my opinion, because we know a lot of individuals out there struggling to pay their student loan debts. And when you struggle to pay your debts, regardless of how you obtained them, then you make other type of choices that may not be favorable to you. And the other thing was we looked at the different types of consumer loan debts that have Americans in some bad situations. We talked about credit card debt before on previous shows, but as far as student loan debt per household, it's almost $35,000 worth of student loan debt that each household has in America. Now, that may not affect my family, Sister Paul or Brother Feaster, but it does affect other families that are within the same community that I live in may go to church or even work with. So it affects us as a community, even though it doesn't affect us on an individual basis. So with that, anybody who's out there listening, we ask you to press 1 on your dial pad if you're calling in. We'll see you light up on the switchboard, and we'd love to bring you to the conversation, and we offer you this seat at the table. And for those who are on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances is our website, and we would love to engage you on the conversation as well. So, Sister Paula, Brother Feaster, did y'all have any opening comments before we just go ahead and get right into our first segment?
I don't have any comments to share, but I am anxious to participate in the conversation tonight on student loan debt.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Feaster.
I have no comments either, just ready to get into it.
Okay, well, check this out. You know, this is what I wanted to say. Although we are focusing on student loan debt, and as we continue in these type of conversations, what I'm praying is that something is going to be brought to the table that truly is beneficial for everybody that's out there listening, and not just being beneficial, but also being something that's going to be transformative in everybody's life. And this is not solely about a debt that you can get rid of, but really what I'm looking at is, by getting rid of these student loan debts or actually making choices before obtaining student loans, that people will have life and have it more abundantly. And so I guess that's a little plug for me as a minister, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I believe the Christ that I serve would love for people to have. So really we have to look at some of the choices that we're making, learn from some of the mistakes that we've made for those who actually have student loan debts and it didn't work out too good for them, and also be able to use some of those testimonies for those who are in certain positions of being able to, you know, pay their debts, student loan debts, without any problems or got some type of relief through, you know, different methods. What I want everybody also to understand is, yes, we're talking about student loan debts, but this is really just one of many type of debts that so many people have, again, that are keeping a lot of people actually in bondage. And one of the things that I realize in many cases is not just about this one particular type of debt, Brother Feaster. It's not that we're just singling out student loan debts, but really I think it has a lot to do with management of funds. I think it has a lot to do with income. I think it has a lot to do with the other debts that individuals have. As we talked about debt so, you know, so extensively on the show in several previous shows, you know, there's individuals who have had a good plan out there. And for the things that you, as you say this so eloquently, Brother Feaster, you talk about life just happens. And when life just happens, you know, something has to give. And then we know that individuals will rob Peter to pay Paul or make other type of choices, such as getting further in debt to try to make sure that they're taking care of it, or messing up their credit, so to speak, by filing bankruptcy. And I do say messing up their credit. I don't know a better way to say it, but it damages your credit, I would say, when you file for bankruptcy. And so for an individual who is struggling to pay their student loan debts, one of the things that they may understand is, well, I can get rid of some of my other debts, but I can't get rid of the student loan debt. And since I cannot get rid of the student loan debt, it's still going to affect that person's overall debt profile. So what I want us to do is continue to think about the original steps that we talked about when we first started talking about debt about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And one of those steps was really just evaluate the totality of your debt situation. So I think it's worth saying that you can't really just look at the one debt, such as if it wasn't for this student loan, then I would have X, Y, and Z. Or if it wasn't for this student loan, then I would be able to make it. Because the reality is most of us have more than one type of debt. Again, it goes back to me a little bit about really just managing the debt that's actually out there, in so many ways, shapes, or form. And the other thing that I'll say is I want people to really think about the pressure that they're under when it comes to being under student loan debt and what type of pressure you want to be relieved. In the big scheme of things, if an individual can see that, you know what, I have this student loan debt, I'm going to have this debt for X amount of years, what is it that I need to do to reduce my total debt profile? And I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Or 3 weeks ago, Brother Feaster, when you said, let's celebrate the small victories. So if you have that student loan debt, which is something that you're going to have for 17 more years, and you know it based upon the amount of payments that you have and the amount of money that you know you can actually put into it every single month, those things are actually worth considering. So With that, again, if you want to join into the conversation, press 1 on your dial pad, and we would love to hear what's on your mind and hear your thoughts. Sister Paul, I wanted to start off with a couple of things that you had mentioned, because you had mentioned a couple of good things a couple of weeks on the show. And one of the things that you asked was, you talked about steps that individuals can take to pay for college out of pocket. And I think that's something worth us talking about, because, you know, if you already have student loan debt and you're just in a phase of paying the student loan debts off, this one may not actually work for you, because you've already used the debt, you already have used your loans, you already have the debt. But we want to be able to help individuals that may be looking to go to college, whether it's a young person or whether it's, you know, a person in our age group, the over 40 club, so to speak. So what was your thoughts on how students or potential students can look at these different steps for paying for college out of pocket, so that they don't have to go down the road of paying for obtaining student loans and getting themselves in this type of bondage?
Well, first of all, when you think about going to college, you know that's a bill that's going to have to be paid, whether it's out of pocket or via a student loan. But preferably, one can afford to consider paying for college out of pocket. And most times, I do know that most colleges have work study available, which helps with paying tuition. I had a girlfriend, she's an accountant now. Well, she's my best friend, but she's an accountant, and she paid her entire way through college. She worked two jobs to make sure that she could afford her normal bills, and her second job was to compensate for her tuition. And it amazed me that she actually paid her way through college. And now she has a successful life. Of course, she had a blueprint for her life, because she didn't start having children until she finished school. So she had a great plan mapped out, and it worked for her. And it can work for anybody. You know, most things that we want in life, whether it be a student loan or a television set, if we work hard for it, we can pay for it out of pocket.
That's right.
You know, JR, can I jump in real quick?
Go ahead, please, brother.
I'm sitting here and listening to both of you, and all the question just popped in my head. How much is our education worth? That's really what I think it boils down to. How much is our education worth? Because is it about the education that we're spending all this money for these student loans, or is it, or what is it? I mean, what is it? Because I think that right there is probably the thing. How many parents are telling their children that you need to go to college and get a good job? You know, to get a good job, you need to go to college. You need to get a degree. So I think we're weighing in more on the college and not looking at the, not necessarily the sacrifice aspect of it, but we're looking at more of not what it takes to get that degree or how long it would take to get that degree. There's nothing to say that you got to come straight out of high school and jump straight into college. Granted, that's the best thing to do, and that's the best way we want to do it, but why not wait a year or two, get into the working force, and actually find out what is it that, because like you said on last week's show, most people don't even know what their degree is when they go to 2 years and get a general studies degree because they have no idea what they want to do. So why not, you know, wait a little while, get an understanding, and then you have a better chance of completing that degree. So is the weight more on the degree versus the sacrifice or what it would take to get that degree? I think I'm asking my question.
You're making a lot of sense, Brother Pisa, but you know what? In today's world, it's kind of tough to wait it out because most jobs, even the menial jobs, they want at least a bachelor's or at least an associate's degree. So it makes it hard for the individual who can't afford to pay for college out of pocket, and they have to get their student loan because they need to get a job, because competition out here is tough.
And if you remember, last week we have a caller that's waiting right now, so I'll just make this quick comment. But we had a caller that called in last night and said, The data shows that 64% of future jobs are requiring a bachelor's degree. So if data is showing that 64% of the of our future jobs that we have in America requiring a bachelor's degree, it is a feasible thing to believe that we do or we probably should be encouraging our young folks especially to pursue a degree. I don't think it's so much the thing of about not pursuing a degree. I think it's the choices that have to be made
exactly.
in pursuing that particular degree and not so much the degree, but I also think it is very, very important that individuals consider the location or the school that an individual is going to. I have some more comments on that, but the phone lines are starting to blow up, so let me just go to our first caller, and then we'll come back to the conversation. Caller with the last four of 1959, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We are well. We are well. What's on your mind this evening?
Hey, I mean, I think, and the nuance is, I work virtually, so I work from home. And I think the previous caller had it right on, and I just add one caveat, which is, it's not how much is education worth. It's actually how much is the credential worth. And there are a lot of predatory quote unquote universities, University of Phoenix. I could go down the list. That are actually absolutely valueless, but are absolutely spending hundreds of millions to market to our people to say, hey, you can be a college graduate. But we all know that a degree from a University of Phoenix isn't worth the paper it's written on. And so it's really kind of having that nuance of you need a college degree to get a really solid paying job, but don't be duped by a lot of these predatory institutions that are telling you that, hey, come to the University of Phoenix and now you'll get to say you're a college graduate because it's not worth anything.
Right, that's right. Thank you, caller. We appreciate that. We have another caller that's calling on the line. Caller with the last four of 2023. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We are doing well.
Good. I just wanted to make a comment about the education, about education. It has to start early. It has to start, you know, in childhood. The parents have to start telling the children about seeking a secondary education and furthering their education, because if they're not prepared for it, you know, early on, when they do graduate high school, they won't have an idea of what to do. Now, I'm an exception because I didn't have that foundation, but I managed to get through college and a master's program without having to go into debt. But I used the resources that were around me. I meant business that I was not going to go into debt to get an education, and I didn't. Now, my sister, on the other hand, she is still paying her college debt, and she graduated from college before I did, and she's my younger sister. So I think the important thing is to start educating the kids, you know, earlier on so that they can start preparing. Like if those high school jobs or those first jobs, there's nothing wrong with putting money away, you know, when you get your first job, your summer job. You can start putting money away for for college at that time. And then, you know, we have to, the people who did manage to make it through without going into debt can also help educate, you know, the other people. Because there are lots of programs out there that don't require you to go into the military or enroll into those schools like the University of Phoenix that are going to, you know, may give you a degree that means nothing in the long run. So I think the foundation of seeking further education has to start early, and that needs to come from parents or family members around them. Instead of buying a fancy car or having the latest kicks always, maybe it's time for you to put, you know, $20 away every paycheck, $50 away every paycheck, and that'll start you off. It may not get you all the way through right away, but it'll get you on the right track.
And Carla, if you can – if you can answer one question for me, you mentioned something which is very, very key to us in regards to PRF, which is Positions, Resources, and Finances. So what type of resources were you able to utilize? Maybe that can be beneficial to somebody that's listening.
Well, a lot of it is is career specific. There are state agencies that pay for, like nurses, if you want to be a nurse, there are state agencies
mm-hmm.
that will give you grants to go to nursing school. The nursing school I went to, they gave me grants. I had money. They were paying me, essentially, to go to school. I was getting paid to go to school. Although I was working full-time, I was making more money in school than I would have if I would have just been doing my own job.
Wow.
So there, I mean, it just depends on what career fields you're interested in. There are several agencies. It's hard to give you a particular one. I mean, I also use the military, though. I did use the military
okay.
as well, but I helped a lot of my classmates get resources so that they can go to school that they weren't aware
That's
of.
Good.
So it's a lot of
okay.
them are state agencies. They're like the Health and Human Services. They have a lot of, if you want to go into the medical career field, they have a lot of scholarship grants, loan repayment. So if you do have to take a loan, all you have to do is go work at a federal agency like an Indian Health Service hospital or any government hospital, and they will
okay.
they will forgive your loans. They will forgive your loans. So for the people who already, you know, took the step towards the loan, there are easy ways to come out of it. You work 2 years and they'll forgive, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in loans if you work 2 years for them. So, and you're already going to be doing a job, so not only do you get experience, but you also get that loan forgiven.
Thank you so much.
If you ask me for a specific career field and I have knowledge, then I can give you more specific information, but it's hard to be, you know, because there are so many.
Okay. Well, if you can, whichever ones that you're able to think about, if you will go to our webpage, possessions.resources.finance, and just feel free to start posting any of those resources that are out there that you think will be helpful to people.
Okay.
I think it's really important. Thank you, caller. We appreciate it so much. And I think it's important for everybody else listening. One of the key things that she said was she was determined not to go into debt. Being determined not to go into debt is something that, you know, everybody doesn't have that mindset. So I'm glad we're talking about it so we can put it out there so you can hear other people who are saying the same thing that we promote on this show. The less debt that you have, it makes life a lot better, I promise you. Life was not as good as it is when I was over my head in debt. Once I was released from that debt, once I was able to pay off some of the different debts that I had, even though I did not have student loans specifically, it took a lot of weight off my shoulders, and it allowed me to function in a way that I was able to, and I can say this personally, to do the things that I know God wanted me to do in my life, not just for me and my own family, but for community as well. So, Brother Fifa, did you have any follow-up comments on that?
Yeah, she really... I mean, honestly, I hope she do put some stuff on the Facebook page because I'm sitting here in my senior year psychology classes for my bachelor's degree and getting tired of paying all this money for books. So when she said what she said, that just kind of like sparked something in me. But, you know, she went out, you know, Adia always talks about doing the research, finding the research, finding this and finding that. And that's one of the things that, you know, I don't take the time out to do. You know, I'm in a different situation than probably a lot of people listening where, you know, my tuition is paid for because I'm active duty military right now. But they don't pay for my books, and these books are $200 a pop right now. So my debt right now is a little different, and it's not as high as everyone else. But still, I mean, if there are agencies out there that's willing to assist me and help me with this, and that, you know, that keeps me from having to do certain things that I have to do to get these books that I need to finish my degree. But I never even thought about some of the stuff that she said, you know, and I'm like her. I'm determined not to get into debt. I'm determined not to, you know, do anything crazy. I mean, I'm so determined that I'm willing to, which I don't want to, but I'm willing to hold back, you know, one of my classes and wait a little while before I get the money to pay for my books. But I didn't know about all that, so that was definitely enlightening for me, definitely enlightening for me.
And I'm going to reach back out to our caller and see if we can come back next week and talk a little bit some more about some specific career fields, because there is data that talks about in certain areas, certain demographics, what fields are on and popping, what fields they are looking at bringing industries to. But when businesses are looking at bringing businesses are looking at bringing their companies or corporations to certain communities and certain locations, then they also have to know that there is a need for it, one, but also that they're going to have people that are going to be willing to fill those positions. So I look forward to having that conversation with our last caller. We have another caller that's been waiting patiently. Caller with the last four of 9513. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, brother. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well. Welcome to the PRF table.
All right. I have a comment on degrees and getting through college with very minimal expense. Number one is if you find out early enough through your research that you're going into a particular career field, you can find out what that career field, for example, pays by location depending on where you are. And if you know you're going into a career field that's only going to pay you, say, maybe $65,000 or less the first year, then that should be your number one marker, not to exceed that amount if you have to borrow funds. Number two, find out what organization supports those career fields. For example, if you're in human resources, there's an organization called SHRM, and then as a national human resources network, that they also have leads that may even give you grants or scholarships. Or if you're in the medical field, they're all over the place. For example, some agencies in law enforcement, depending on where you are, they may offer grants and scholarships. But the big thing is, as long as you're in school, the closer you stay to that president's list will also guarantee you in-house scholarships and possible grants from the school itself. By studying and getting, staying up there with a good GPA and being able to apply that information, and you can basically come out almost debt-free. Now, true enough, books are expensive because books is what helps keep those professors that's writing those books, keep them employed, and keep their salary coming in. So if you buy new books for this semester, first thing to do is say, okay, we got a brand new book for this semester. If you don't need that book in your career, then next semester, sell that book. True, you're not going to get 100%, but if you don't mark it up and mutilate it, you can get at least 60 to 75% back on that book and just continue to roll it over. The other thing is deciding on a career field early, because if you don't and you switch career fields, it's going to lengthen the time that you're in school. It's going to increase your debt load if you got to go back and borrow money. And then it's going to leave you basically unfulfilled, because you might get out there and say, well, you know what, I wanted to be an anesthetist, but I think I want to go back in there and do some social work. Now we have a lot of courses that you may have to go back and pick up, because that second degree might not accommodate the courses you've already taken.
Right. That's right. You're speaking with a lot of wisdom for us, caller, and we appreciate that. We need more people to talk about it. And I think that I know voices, because I won't say who you are unless you say who you are. But, you know, one of the things that really it amazes me how much information men and women of God actually have, and how much we really try our hardest to really put out that information to so many people. But from an organizational church type of structure, we don't get that support. And I can say that's a lot of my critique regarding the church. Not that it's a bad institution or organization, but we have individuals that are, I mean, we have young people that, you know, we have a lot of churches, let me say it like this, that have youth ministries. If part of your youth ministry is not helping to prepare young people for not just college, but for career, I think it's worth taking a reevaluation or an evaluation of, okay, what is it that we're doing? It's good to try to have those young people being connected to Christ. But I will, however, I will say, connected to Christ is not going to get them a scholarship.
True.
Seeking out scholarship opportunities is going to help God work within that situation. So I'm pleading those who are already within ministry as well, especially that work with youth. I'm pleading out to pastors. I'm pleading out to religious educators inside of our churches or our ministries to take some of the things that we're talking about. Reach out to us. You know, we'll be as resourceful as we need to be, because I think this is something that we really need to talk about, not just for 1 hour, but we need to be talking about it where it's something that is constant within the church.
All right. And just Carl, one other quick comment.
Sure.
One other quick comment here. Another thing is that when we have people inside of the church or youngsters or whatever, and they're looking for funding, you know, don't overlook the church. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes churches do give out grants. Sometimes churches, if they don't give you an outright grant, you know, they will assist you in other ways in helping with funding or putting you in touch with someone that may be able to help you.
That's correct. Thank you for that, caller. We appreciate it. You know what? Let me add something to what the caller said about not overlooking the church. There was a young lady who I know was in going to one of our technical colleges in our area, and they called me up one day, and they were telling me, I was talking to this young lady, and in talking to her, she was telling me that she was about to go and get a student loan, and she was going to get a student loan because she didn't have the money for the books. So I think that's the first thing we need to understand, that, you know, a lot of times people think about college and they only think about the tuition, but don't think about how much are the books going to cost. Because in certain career fields, I can tell you, one book will break your back. One book may be more than what the tuition is. I mean, I noticed for a fact, you know, there's some career fields that you buy one book, it may be worth, it may cost more than the tuition actually costs for that class or a credit hour. And it may be because it's a book that you're going to use over your next 2 semesters or 3 semesters. So the book may be $400 or $500, but your tuition may only be $300 for that particular semester. But you got to come up with all that at one time. So this young lady was telling me that she was going to have to go out and get a student loan so she can cover, you know, get what she needed as far as her books and the other things, expenses that she needed. And I suggested, I said, well, have you asked the church for it? And here's the shameful part of that situation. There's light at the end of the tunnel, but the shameful part was she did not have enough courage to go to her church because she didn't believe that they would help her. That's a sad commentary. So if we're really talking about, let's talk about young people especially. If we're really interested in our young people, if we're really interested in how successful they're going to be, we have to make sure that our church houses are safe enough or open enough so that people know, especially young people know, that they can come and seek out assistance. And the thing about it was she asked them, and I told her exactly how to write the letter, and she got what she needed. And I remember the same young lady had reached out to somebody. I directed her to somebody that was in the church that worked in the administration of one of our local in a local community college. That saved her from getting student loans, because if she didn't reach out to her, who was in her church, the lady who works in the institution, she would have not have been able to direct her to where to get the scholarship. So I think if we are being really, really resourceful about where do we go for help, when do we go for help, because that plays a part. You can't look to start college in September and start looking for funding in August, or start applying for scholarships back, you know, in July. It's probably not going to happen like you want it to happen. So I know I've been talking a lot. Sister Paula, did you have anything, sister?
I'm listening and learning, my brother.
You
there's
know,
a wealth of information being thrown around, and I'm enjoying it. I don't have anything to add to the conversation at this time.
Okay. one of the things that I think I really wanted to bring up, because I think it is truly important that we talk about it, and we talked a little bit about it last week, was the way we as parents, we want our children to go to college. We want our children to, whether it's four-year institution, community college, or a technical school, we want our young people to be able to get college education, because we recognize, even though we don't know the statistics, about 64% of future jobs are going to require a bachelor's degree, but we know that having a college degree puts people in a better situation as far as employment hiring. So we want them to have that. We want them to have the best possible chances. And I think it's worth talking about right now about co-signing on loans. Sister Dia talked about it last week, but I think it's worth bringing it up again. You know, there's a scripture, and I've heard it before, and it talks about co-signing for somebody else, and it's in Proverbs 22, and it talks about, you know, don't agree to, it doesn't use the word co-sign, but that's the intent behind the language in the Hebrew. Don't guarantee or put up for somebody else's debt or security up for somebody else, because if you can't pay it, then your bed will be snatched from you. So what does that mean? If you're not able to pay off this debt, or if your person that you co-signed for is not able to pay off the debt, then you're on the hook for it. And I think that's something that, Brother Feaster, you are a parent. You have a child going to college, if I'm not mistaken, this year. Let me ask you, would you be comfortable with just co-signing for a student loan for your daughter? And why,
no,
or why not?
That option was not on the table. That option never came up. That option is not. So, and maybe this is being a mean dad. Maybe this is being, you know, whatever. I don't know. Call it what you want. I don't see that as an option, because, honestly, if I'm getting a loan, what is the benefit to me? So what I'm doing is I'm putting myself out there on something that there is no guarantee. You know, what's the guarantee that, because if I did, well, let me say it like that. I'm not going to say it's not an option. But if I did take out a loan, if me and my wife and I did take out a loan for my daughter, then there's going to be some stipulation where she's going to pay us that loan. I don't believe in, that's my daughter, I love her, she's my firstborn, she's a daddy's girl, but I've been teaching her since she was a wee little lad, knee-high to a grasshopper, teaching her about responsibility. So if it came down to us having to get a loan for her to go to college, she's not going to walk away scot-free with some money in her hand. No, I'm going to do a contract with the bank or the loan company or wherever the case may be, and then I'm going to turn around, and my daughter's going to sign a contract between her parents and her, because there's some responsibility in that. I don't think I should have to go into debt for your education. I'm going out getting it what I need for my education, and now it's your turn to do the same. You know, we've been telling her for years, get your grades up. You get some good scholarships. You know, when we started around ninth grade, you need to start looking at scholarships. So now we're at the point to where it's time for her to go to college. So why is everything left on me? So if that's me being a bad dad, then, hey, call Child Support Services, and I'll tell them to their face. But that is not my responsibility for her education. My responsibility was making sure she got to the point to where she can get an education. And that's the way I see it. That's why the loan is not on the table. It is not on the table. I have to continue supporting my wife and my son. You know, it's not all about one child. It's not all of, I mean, you're on your own now. So that makes me a bad parent, and I'll be that bad parent, but it's not an option. Well, it's a minimal option. It's a last resort.
Go get you some water, Brother Feaster. Go get you some water. You know, I think that it has to, everybody has to respect Brother Feaster's thought process on it, because first and foremost, it's his child. Second of all, it's his debt. So if you were to go and get in debt behind Destiny for her college education, and she decided that she was going to drop out of school early. And you know what happens when you leave out of, when you stop going to college and you have those student loans, they're looking at within six months, you get a grace period, and then they're looking at their money. You may not be ready financially to start paying that debt off. So I think it's in the book of Proverbs, for those of you who don't know, Proverbs is wisdom literature. And that's one of 30 sayings of the wise that is written. So I think it's a thing that really requires some heavy consideration because, again, you can't say, you may have all the intentions in the world, those of you who are listening, for your child to go through that two-year college experience or that four-year college experience, and then your intention may be, okay, after he or she graduates, 6 months after that, we're going to start paying the loans off. But there's a reason why we're talking about this, because a lot of people don't make it through college. A lot of people stop for various reasons. And the debt that I mentioned, the $34,000 figure for a household, that would affect your whole household, Brother Feaster, not just you as an individual. And so I do respect the fact that you say, hey, I have my son and my wife that I also have to be taken into consideration. I also want to caution everybody with this. I think you have to be cautious in co-signing for student loans for your children, especially when you have more than one child. Because if you have more than one child and you do it for one, the inclination is going to be that you're going to want to do it for the other. And if you're not in a financial situation when that other child or those other children come of age to go to college, what are you going to be able to tell them? I mean, Brother Peter, what would you tell your son if you did it for Destiny but didn't do it for him?
I mean, what can you tell them? Honestly, that's one of the thoughts on the table. You know, if I do it for one, I got to do it for the other one. Granted, it'll be easier for my son than for my daughter because I'm in a different financial situation. But, I just can't see doing it for one and not for the other. So my job, my intent was, along the way, keep coach her, teach her, mentor her, and tell her what she needs to do to earn her college degree.
Yeah. You know, another point that I really wanted to bring out as well, and I think Sister Paula, you have brought this up. You brought up, I think, last week about has it ever been considered, something to the effect of, has it been considered that student loans are now hindrances to achieving the American dream?
Yes.
And did you have anything else? I know you brought that topic up, but could you expound on that for us, please?
Well, the student loan, for one thing, is one debt that can't be forgiven. You know, ordinary debt may be forgiven after 7 years, but not the student loan debt. And at one point, I believe prior to me becoming a college student, student loans, what they were not considered when you applied for a mortgage, but now they are. And if that debt-to-income ratio isn't feasible, you're not getting that loan. You're not getting a mortgage with a student loan on your credit if you can't really afford to pay it back. And that's the unfortunate thing. I guess it's a bittersweet thing because it's unfortunate. And also, I mean, it's wise as well because if you can't pay your student loan, how are you going to pay your mortgage? But once again, the bottom line is it is a hindrance to the American dream. So if you're going into the process of getting an education, furthering your education with the mindset that you're going to buy a home, you have to be aware that, as the gentleman said before, consider the income that you'll be earning from the degree that you're pursuing because you have to be able to afford to pay that student loan back and as well as be able to afford a mortgage.
Sister Paula, you struck something in me. It's interesting that the student loans would be a hindrance to the American dream, but the college degree is an asset to it. So to me, it seems like a contradiction. It seems like an oxymoron. seems like they're working against each other. Yeah, they're working against each other.
Exactly. So as the gentleman said earlier, the caller who called in, it's about covering your bases. You got to look at the amount of money that you're potentially going to be able to earn as opposed to the debts that you're creating and the future debts that you may be getting into, because everybody wants to own a home. Who doesn't want to own a home? I mean, if you're pursuing a career, you're pursuing that career to be able to afford a life that's comfortable for you. But as you stated, you're getting into debt to pursue this career to get that dream or to make the dream come alive, and you're killing it basically when you get the debt. So you can't win for losing in this situation unless you have your bases covered and you have a plan.
You know, one of the things that I thought about as you brought up that topic, Sister Paula, was, you know, there's individuals that have dreams, things that they want to do in life, especially young. You know, we talk about it, you know, when we're young. You know, when I get older, I want to do this. And we also have adults who, for whatever reason, have not achieved their dream or, you know, started, had to figure out what they want to do in life, and here they are maybe 25, 30 years old, and now they want to pursue their dream. But when you have a high level of debt, regardless of whether it's a student loan debt or credit card debt, people are working in jobs or in professions just to pay the bills. So I think it's worth telling everybody that people have to get a handle on their debt or do as much as they can do to prevent themselves from going into debt so that when they want to make a move, then they can go ahead and make the move. You made a move, Sister Paula, from Atlanta to New Orleans, right?
If your debt
was so high, you would have been thinking about, well, if I take this money and use this to move and put inside of the U-Haul and all of this stuff that is going to take you to move from one location to the other, you had to also consider, okay, but if I'm not going to be able to pay my debts, that's probably not going to be a smart move. So some of what drives me in having this conversation, you know, a lot of things are driving me, y'all, but some of what's driving me is that we don't want people to not be able to pursue their dreams. I'm not just saying American dreams, just pursue their dreams in life. And their dream, people's dreams are not always these far-fetched ideas. Some of them are entrepreneurial. Some of them are ministry callings. We have to allow people or have to talk to people about doing the things that they can do, putting themselves in certain positions so that they can go ahead and move forward in whatever area that God has for them in their life. So I think when you brought that up last week, I wanted to make sure I hit on it this week, that you got to get control of it, and you got to look at it, you know, from the beginning. And what that does, it reminds me of I think one of you had brought it up earlier in the show tonight, when Jesus was talking about counting the cost. You know, in Luke 14, he talks about the cost of being a disciple, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. But then he also says something very, very key to give them an illustration of what it's going to take to follow Christ. And I'm giving you the background of what Christ was saying. However, I do think that we can take part of it, of the whole context of counting the cost, and apply it to several other different areas in our lives. So when he tells them, you know, suppose you're a person who wants to build a tower or to build a building, don't you sit down first and look at how much it's going to cost? Don't you look at it first and see how much money it's going to take for you to – he didn't say for you to start building it, this house or this tower. He says to complete it. So if we're talking about college education, we're talking about student loans, we want our young people and those others who are pursuing college education, we want them to finish. That should be the hope of all of us, that they finish. But you got to look at counting the cost first. What is it going to take? You know, and this is what he says. He says, if you who are looking at building a tower or building a house, if you lay down a foundation and then you're not able to finish it or you run out of money, everybody's going to see that and ridicule you. Everybody's going to see that and laugh at you. So now we're dealing with more than just some person who is not able to finish school, but we have to deal with, ministerial-wise or pastoral, we have to deal with the fact of now we have to console that individual. Now we're dealing with trying to pray for that individual. Now we're dealing with the individual coming home but has that debt that they have to start paying on in 6 months. So what do people do when they're getting into those situations? Those individuals now have to go out and get a job. But what happens to their dream? Their dream is put on the back burner. So I do agree with you on this, Brother Feaster. I do think it's worth maybe sitting back for a while until you get an understanding of, okay, what is it that I want to do? I am a very, very, very big advocate of young people not necessarily going, quote-unquote, off to college. Because when you go off to college, there's going to be some expenses that you may not really have a good understanding. And I think too often or more often than not, there's a lot of parents or adults that really only look at what the tuition cost is. You know how I know that to be true? Because I know many grown folks that buy cars and only look at what the note is. Don't take into consideration how much gas costs. Don't take into consideration that your car that you just have to have or you want is going to require you to have 93-octane gas. So when you see the little sign that says it's $3.19 a gallon, that's not gas for you. That's the bottom. That's the 89-octane. But then when you get to the gas pump, it's not $3.19, it's $3.89. That has an effect on everything else around. So I think what you said, Paula, again, was very, very key. Go ahead, Brother Feaston.
I was going to say, and even in that, they don't even, because my wife got me on this, what's the maintenance package? You know, those cars that have those premium gas, don't nobody pay attention to the maintenance package. I wanted a BMW for years, and I found out you got to go back to the dealership just to get wiper blades. it was something that you brought up earlier that really struck me, and I can't shake it. And it was when the caller came in and was talking about, you know, and you talked about the youth and, you know, the church is spending all this time and investment into the youth. But my question is, exactly what are we teaching them? We are teaching them to go to college, and we're teaching them to, you know, college is the thing, that's the way you want to be. But what are we teaching them? How many churches or have college prep type of ministry? You know, how many churches out there are sitting down with these students when they get to the ninth grade and talking to them about scholarships? You know, so I know there are churches out there, and I'm not going to say that there's none out there, because I attended one that every year there was a scholarship fund, and they would give scholarships to the people that was going to college. So I know there are churches out there, but my thing is, you know, that we're, like you said, Jesus ain't going to get, and I hate to say it like this because it's going to sound so wrong, Jesus ain't going to get us to college. It's going to take, you know, Jesus gave us sense. You know, he gave us common sense. He gave us the ability to work. He gave us the ability to research. And that's what we are, that's how we're setting them up, so that when these students get out there, when these high school graduates get out there, they're looking at the tuition and not the books and not the housing. And oh, by the way, my daughter wanted to go into nursing, and there's another nursing fee, and then there's the supplies, and then, oh my gosh. I mean, it got up to the tuition was the cheapest thing. You know, right. That was the cheapest thing. You know, when she got to the supplies, and oh, by the way, you got to pay this insurance because as you're working on people, this helps with the malpractice. And I mean, all that stuff, you know. I was in awe when I was sitting in that interview. But it's just those things we need to teach and educate ourselves so that we can educate our youth. Because if I don't know, and this is where the problem is, if I don't know, how can I talk to my daughter? How can I talk to my son? How can I talk to my neighbor? How can I talk to, you know, the children at church? If I don't know. So, I mean, I, as a parent, I'm a leader. As a leader, I lead. So that's my thing on the youth.
Okay. Well, we have another caller that is wants to chime in and have some comments. So call it with the last four of 2143. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, my brother, Warren Feaster, knows of my situation, so he thought it would be good for me to chime in and give my input about my experiences. I graduated last year with my PhD, and I have my master's as well, so I am definitely know about, you know, student loan debt. I'm in it right now. And I've been listening for a while, and I've kind of wrote down a couple of things that kind of triggered me or things that you all were talking about. When there was a lot of talk about, you know, students doing research and finding scholarships and things like that. What I found, because I used to work in undergraduate admissions and I work a lot with students, one of the biggest things is that students don't know to do that. They don't know those resources are even out there. They don't know it until kind of after the fact once they get to college, and they might meet with, hear from other students, so they just don't know. And I like that you all have kind of piggybacked on is that some students, they just don't know. And, you know, especially if they're like first-generation college students, you know, their parents don't know. They don't know much about the college process or what to do or anything like that. So it's like a new thing for all of them. So, and then there are students who know and are just kind of lazy and just won't do it. You know, it takes too much time to research and to find it. And I will admit, I was one of those students. I could have been a whole lot more proactive about finding, you know, scholarships and doing things when I was in my bachelor's, master's, and even my PhD program. I could have been a little bit more proactive. But, you know, it was just that kind of, I'm validating the unwillingness of individuals who just don't do it for whatever reason. I am one of those people.
Right.
And individual was talking about books, because I'm also a professor. I teach at a university here in California. So in my particular area, my degree is in counseling. And we don't make a whole lot of money in that field. You got to love what you do.
Right.
And as far as, like, books, I know for some of my students and other people who work in the college I work in, they have other alternatives. Like, there are some books that can be rented for, you know, the semester or the quarter, or they have even books now that are e-texts that can be downloaded on, you know, a Kindle or some type of reader device or whatever like that. That kind of helps with the cost. Now, I don't know if that's the case. I'm pretty sure it's not the case for all books. But those are also some additional resources that I have realized, because my students, I mean, you know, I try to be, you know, these are other options. I try to not promote not going to the bookstore. I try not to, because I don't know if that's something I'm not supposed to do. But I'm like, usually most of the time if they go to the bookstore, those books are going to be pretty expensive. So I just kind of give them some options and let them make their decisions accordingly. So so I tell them about those other options. I even tell students, I'm like, you know, some of these books, they come out with a new edition every single month or something. Like, there's a new edition, and there's not much change in them. So I always tell my students, hey, you know, you don't have to get the most updated edition. You can get, you know, one or two editions before, because there's not much change in that too. So that kind of helps as well. So that's kind of my input. I don't, I'm still working on the, you know, student loan and trying to get my debt accordingly. It's been a process for me that has been, that I've kind of been working on, and it was kind of like learning as I go and making mistakes and trying not to beat myself up over it, because I didn't know, and I made some very poor financial decisions, and I'm paying for it, but there's no need to, you know, wallow in the self-pity or anything like that, just stay and stop. You know, I'm all about, okay, what can I do about it? How can I move forward? What can I do? Things like that. I know how much my student loan is. I know how much I bring in a month. I have a spreadsheet that I always keep, you know, make sure that I adjust accordingly, don't go off too much from that budget, kind of stay in that, try to put some in savings. If there's anything extra that I do with work, I kind of put it towards the side into like a account. So I'm kind of starting to make better financial decisions for my future.
And let me tell you something that I appreciate what you said. I teach as well in the higher education realm. I teach criminal justice and personal law. And the books that we use, I have seen that, not at the institution that I'm teaching at now, but at a previous institution that I was at, where the books just kept changing. And I've seen how much stress and despair that the students would go through because the money is just not there for everybody. You know, everybody just can't go to the bookstore and buy a brand new book. So one of the things that I appreciate what you said, my sister, was the fact that as an educator, it's not just about you getting your paycheck and the students coming to your classroom and you having enough students for a class. It's helping the students in ways that we're not told that we need to do. The institution doesn't say, you know what, they will frown upon any of us saying, don't get the books from the bookstore. You know,
exactly.
But in the big scheme of things, there's an educational ethic that is there, whether it's implied or whether it's stated, that we all have to live by. There's a morality there that says, you know what, we know what these students are going through because they're in our classrooms. You know, in my criminal justice court, we haven't changed books in 5 years. So guess what? There is some information that has been updated in the criminal justice field, but the principles are the same in most cases, right? So how much extra work is it really going to take for me as an educator to fill in the gaps of, you know what, on page 25 through 30, you know, we have some new data now. That just means I need to work a little bit harder as an educator. We get paid good money. I mean, let's be real. So
yeah.
I think the ethic of what you said is something that I think will help in the student loan process overall because, again, it's not just about the student loan. It's about everything else that goes on in the education. In fact, about downloading the books to the Kindle or getting the e-reader. I know for me personally, I don't do well with reading books online. I write in my books. You know, I need to make notes. I need to highlight. I know we can do that electronically, but I'm just not there. So I make that sacrifice. I make that conscious choice to actually buy the hard copy books. But for some people, if you don't have a problem with it, why not go with that? So it takes the research. And I thank you for your call. Thank you for your comments, caller. It's really important. And we hope that you can continue to join back in with us as we continue these different conversations on different aspects of student loan debt. So thank you again. We really appreciate you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
And let me say this, brother, you know, your sister, she sparked something in me when she said, you know, some students are lazy and they won't put forth the effort. I don't repeat that as a thing of condemnation. I repeat it as a thing of reality. You know, my daughter, she's going into her second year of college, a very prestigious school at that. And I remember back, you know, 6-7 months before she was graduating, I said, look, I'm going to give you all these resources about where to get scholarships from. And all she had to do was do essays. And I had some people that told me, well, you know, have her apply. And, you know, we don't have anybody else right now. That's a parent's dream for somebody who is telling you that there is nobody else that has applied. If you tell your daughter to apply, unless somebody applies between now and then, you can pretty much bank it. And for her to miss out on those opportunities because she didn't have the drive. So, you know, we can't make our children do anything, but this is what I say. You want to go to college. We're not making that choice for you. You're making that choice. So that means you're going to have to do the things that is required in order for you to be successful. Because I'm not going into debt. I'm just not going to do it. And I know we've had those talks before. And I think it's important that we have good reason and understanding of why we're not going to make certain decisions as parents and the children being able to understand those reasons why. So, Brother Feaster, that was your sister, so I know you got something to say.
I do, and I was hoping to say it while she was on the phone. I really had something. I really wanted her to talk a little more about her financial situation and the strain that it has placed her and a lot of the stress that it has caused her. She gave her way out in the end and how she's managing it now, but without going too much into detail and putting on blast, I know she's still on, but I got many of calls with her stressing out about her financial situation. When she graduated, she had to move from the East Coast to the West Coast, and then it became how am I going to get there and all that stuff like that. And she had, I mean, then she knew that right as she started working, those student loans was going to come in. So, you know, she's trying to figure all this out. And I really kind of want her to touch on that a little bit, but she opened up that. What's that?
Just get back, we'll get her back next week, brother, and we can let her tell her story.
Okay, I'll definitely talk to her. But some of the things that she said.
I think that's important because I really believe that people need to hear from other people that are going or have gone through that strain and that stress because there's a lot of people that's in it right now. Tonight we've talked a lot about the young people and people getting ready to go to college, but I know there's a lot of people out there that's listening and who has listened to the show from last week that are currently in that place that you're talking about your sister was in. So you know me, I'm a big individual about testimonies, and I believe that what we experience makes up who we are, and what we experience is something that we are able to share. I think we have a responsibility to share what we've experienced with some other people because it encourages individuals to know you were in the same situation that I was in, that I'm in right now. But I'm looking at you, and you're not in that situation anymore, and you're still standing. So we need to hear more testimonies like that. We need to hear from people who have actually gone through it in all the different areas, you know. Those of us who don't have the degree, don't have the student loans and have degrees that we've been able to get degrees through other methods, those who have gone through it and have come out in a very positive light, those who have gone through it and are going to be willing to be open and honest about how jacked up and how crazy and how dysfunctional their life was as they were going through it. All of those things, all of those experiences, I believe, Brother Feaster, are valid for individuals to be able to grow and become the people that I believe God wants them to be. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, and some of the things that she said is some things that I'm learning now, you know, about the renting of the books and the e-books and all that good stuff. I mean, for about 2 years, my books was climbing. And they were getting over the $200 mark. And I was like, this is getting ridiculous. I want the education and everything. I'm going out trying to find ways. And then I was at some function, and later was like, well, my son don't pay no more than $50 for a book. And he just graduated his bachelor's degree. And that's when I found out that they actually rent books. And that's what I did this semester. It cost about $40, you know. And I think, you know,
right.
it's little things like that. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, and I didn't notice about a professor that y'all are not, how do I say? I think when you understand or you remember where you're from, it helps those of us that are going through. Because a lot of times people get to the point to where they forget where they came from, you know. So I forgot that your book costs $200 every semester. You know, and like you said, I'm the professor. Why don't I just keep myself current and give the current information and keep from that so that book that my student is using this semester will be there next semester. And, I like these are things that, you know, I hope a lot of people are doing out there to help us with this strain.
Right. And what we can do, all we can do is what we can do. But, you know, I just thank God that we have this platform to be able to put it out there and individuals have an opportunity to go back to our archives on the Blog Talk Radio site and be able to actually sit back and listen, like Brother Feaster, Sister Paula, and Sister Dia, like we all do every week. We go back and we listen to the show not just so we can hear ourselves, but so that we can hear what others are saying during this time. So I think we've covered a lot of different bases tonight. And I think for next week, what I really want us to do is really talk about debt as something that shouldn't be over us or over our heads for a long period of time. If you recall, remember when I was talking, we were talking about debt in earlier previous episodes, and I talked about how mortgages being 30 years never was in the plan or never intended to be how God wanted us to be held with debt. And I want us to really talk about that a little bit next week, coming out of Deuteronomy, in case anybody wants to go and look at it before then. But I think it's important because that brings some type of perspective to this whole thing of what we're talking about, when you can realize that God's plan was never for anybody to be in debt to one thing for 20 years or to be in debt to any one thing for 30 years. So being the lender and the borrower, I think we need to talk about that. And we can work around all the different experiences that our callers have been so gracious to call in and talk about with us. So, Brother Feaster, did you have any final comments before we close out for this evening?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I think that this show was very informative, and nobody else dealt with me, and understanding how, you know, it's just another debt. The thing that gets me about this one is like, Sister Paula said, we're pursuing the American dream, but this is a part of the dream that's keeping us and making it into a nightmare. I mean, it's the bondage part of the dream that we're putting ourselves into or getting ourselves into. So, you know, the enlightenment that I've got out of this has been very great. So thanks, everybody, for coming, sitting at the table with us, partaking with us, and sharing with your wisdom and your knowledge. And have a good night.
All right, so we'll be back next week, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come back and join us. And again, we invite you to go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and we'll be going back and posting some comments on for that as well. So until next week, we love you. God bless you. Have a great, great week. Have a good night.
The power of prayer. Every time I call him, he will be right there. Yeah, may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. So tell me what you're waiting on. Why don't you give prayer a try? To know, yeah.